Hello, Vinny.
Hello, Kerry. I love your show, and I think you're just fabulous and bring some common sense to the airwaves on whatever I hear you talk about.
Oh, that's very kind.
I know. I'm like airplane peanuts. I'm complimentary.
Yes. Very good.
We wanted to talk about Occupy Wall Street. Now, do you know if they've issued any demands?
No.
Okay. Have you Googled Occupy Wall Street demands?
The Occupy Aotearoa don't subscribe to the same beliefs, though.
So you have Googled it?
No, I haven't. But when I specifically asked the Dunedin Occupy man, he said he couldn't possibly speak for A, the protesters in Dunedin, B, Occupy Aotearoa, or C, the Occupy movement worldwide, because each one had its own specific understandings of why they were there. And I said, well, what do you want? And he said, well, that's not for us to say. All we know is that this is the wrong place.
Yeah, this, you know, is what I think we've done?
What?
In our country, we kind of follow other people's trends a lot, don't we? You know, and I think it was on the news a while back, even our singers sing in American accents. So there's a lot of influence from overseas. Now, Occupy Wall Street has actually issued some demands. They've issued exactly 13 of them. Unlucky for some.
Right, but they don't speak for all the protesters there, and they've made that very clear too.
Mm. So I wonder who actually produced this list and what's behind this entire movement if a few people have issued demands, but they don't speak for everybody.
Yes, I mean, they don't. That's the thing that I've found hardest to get my head around, is that there's no structure. There is no one person. Even the lovely hippie that I interviewed was reluctant to be interviewed because he didn't want to be seen as a spokesman for the movement and was at pains to point that out at all times. And that was, you know, that was followed through when you saw some of the Occupy protests in Europe. They had nothing to do with what the Occupy Wall Street people were complaining about.
Well, let's have a look at the common threads here, because I think they really do come across in each country as a bit of a problem. For example, restoration of the living wage. This demand can only be met by ending free trade, by reimposing trade tariffs on all imported goods entering the American market to level the playing field to domestic family farming and domestic manufacturing, as most nations are dumping cheap products onto the American market, have radical wage and environmental regulation advantages.
But that's not true.
Is it not?
No. The Americans have also been hugely responsible for artificially increasing the price of primary produce.
Well, they've also put a lot of subsidies into corn.
They've put huge subsidies they've put huge subsidies as well as being responsible for dumping goods.
Well, this goes on to define the whole climate change argument. Have you noticed how people activated for climate change has sort of eclipsed all the other environmental issues? Nobody talks about pesticides no more. Nobody talks about heavy metals in the water.
Oh, I don't know. The anti-whaling people still get a lot of airwaves.
Well, yeah, but think about this. How much damage to people on a daily basis does whale hunting do? Probably none.
Doesn't.
Whereas how much damage does, say, for an example, a chemical like chlorine that you use to clean your pool being used in public drinking water and people are consuming it and the knock-on effects, not to mention all the other trace minerals you can find in there that ain't supposed to be there.
Well, have a look too at the teeth decay and the teeth problems that are in areas where there isn't fluoride in the water.
Yeah, I know. They're actually in Europe, they've banned fluoride altogether, and they found no statistical difference between the average fluoride output. And interestingly enough, dentists are now making more money treating a condition known as dental fluorosis, where there's a light mottling of the teeth.
Well, that isn't the case in the far north, which is one of the poorer regions where the state of children's teeth is almost at the 1930s kind of epidemic state, which was one of the reasons that the first Labor government got elected was on free dental health care for kids.
Well, is free dental health care supposed to be backed by scientifically verified literature to make sure that it is safe for the public?
As soon as somebody says scientifically verified, that doesn't mean what it meant when I was a kid at school. Because
what does it mean now?
It means that there are schools of scientific thought in competition with one another, and that is generally the case. There are contesting statements and contesting beliefs, and now I don't think they're facts anymore. I think they're beliefs.
I think you're correct, Kerry, because they're now scientists, the biggest religion on earth, almost the most powerful. Scientists can now say your human life is now going to be damaging to the environment, and we're going to tax you in every single thing that you do in order to pay for your damage that you cause.
As opposed to the volcanoes, which cause so much more. Thank you, Vinny. Nice to talk with you.